This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tune in for baseball action tomorrow as the Cubs host the Dodgers. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Poll question is up at EVCO Radio, EVCO Radio, at Unsports ESPN. Ime Udoka, head coach of the Houston Rockets, with their loss against the Warriors last night, said about his team that we're either scared or soft out there. And we've been asking you guys the question as to, would you rather be labeled scared or soft? CC Smalls, your answer to this before we get back into the Final Four is coming up this weekend.
Damn. That hits different when you say it like that. Like, he called his guy scared or soft at the post-game press conference after a disappointing loss. Yeah, they didn't respond the way that I thought they would. They didn't step up the way that I thought they would. Either they scared or they soft. Two things that's not good for our club. Yeah. No crap. We get it. Yeah, we know it's not good for your club to be scared or soft. Oof. And to have your coach say it. It's not like he said that in the locker room to those guys when the media, before the media got in there. He said that in front of the entire world. Like, my guys are scared or soft. Like, them fighting words, that's like usually on site if somebody calls you scared and or soft. And the fact that he has no issue, didn't bat an eyelash, didn't skip a beat, didn't take a breath. He just said they scared or they soft. Either way, it's not good for our club. Like, I've never heard of a coach saying that about his club after a game to the entire world. Never heard of it, never seen it until last night.
Yeah, that's brutal. And if I had to pick one, I think I'd rather be called scared than soft, because I think scared implies that you're going into a tough situation and you're acknowledging the challenge ahead of you. That doesn't mean you're not going to go to battle, but you have the awareness to realize what you're about to jump into. Soft to me is how you respond to that challenge. And I would rather have a disc going into something, knowing I'm still going to put myself out there and potentially battle, than have somebody criticize my effort in that battle or my mentality in the battle.
Neither one of those things are good, Smalls. No. I appreciate your explanation. I appreciate you trying to find the softer side. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But no, you can't sugarcoat either one of them. Scared and or soft is not good. Like, it's as bad as it gets in professional sports. This is not the head coach criticizing the decision making or the effort or saying guys are out of position or saying guys are uncoachable. He said you are scared and soft. Scared and soft. Those things have no place in professional sports. Hell, those things don't have any place in sports, period. Being scared or soft, no matter what sport you play. Like, even golfers don't want to be called scared or soft.
I think scared is recoverable. I don't know that soft is.
Neither one of them is recoverable, Ev.
Well, let me try to explain. You're going into a game against the Chiefs, let's just say, and you're a defender, and you're like, oh, God, I'm like a little nervous, a little scared of how to defend Mahomes. Like, I'm a little bit fearful. Then you get in the game, and you realize, okay, I can do this, I can do that. Like, maybe by the second quarter, that fear wears off. If you're someone in professional sports or in life in general that people would deem to be soft, that's not like that'll just wear off in the moment. I think the fear can wear off. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Well, apparently the fear didn't wear off because Ime said this after the game, not before the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, but I'm just
they
saying,
were
like,
scared throughout the game.
I'm sure.
Perpetually scared.
They were shook.
I'm
sure many people were scared.
Halfway crooks. Like, they were shook.
They were like Sam Darnold seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts out there, cuz.
You don't think people first day of the job. I'm sure the three of us, our first day, September 5th, we had probably had nerves, right, looking back on it.
Ev, I wore a helmet on our show the first day.
That was the first week, not the first day.
That wasn't
but
the first
yes.
day?
No.
I got hit in the head for a living. It all runs together.
Maybe you needed a helmet, but you didn't. Yeah. But the point is, okay, yeah, right. So if you were fearful or nervous, it wore off. I don't think if you're soft, it can wear off. Like, at least not immediately. I would rather be scared. I'd rather be labeled scared than soft. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Go ahead.
Really quickly, since you're in Florida, we have to alert you to something. CeCe and I are sitting here, we're listening to you break down Scared versus Soft, and all of a sudden we realize Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guys, is singing Flowers by Miley Cyrus.
I don't understand.
He's singing Flowers. The guys in Bristol, they're watching Charmed. Like, everybody that's working on the show besides us three is doing something else.
That's right.
Why?
They're not actually
Why
working
is that?
On the show.
I don't know. Why is that?
I was like, what is he humming and singing? And then I heard.
Like, we're not doing a radio show with microphones right here.
Well, maybe he was thinking Scared and Soft, Flowers, or like a soft thing. I don't know. But all of a sudden, Evan, he's like, I can buy myself flowers.
Based on what we heard Email Adolfo say, Miley Cyrus singing that song is tougher than his guys.
That's right, because she said, I can do it on my own. Exactly. I don't need you.
Here comes Nuno from the outfield.
What did we miss?
Oh, boy.
What are you guys talking about?
Watching
what are you guys doing?
You're interrupting a good conversation, Nuno.
What are you guys doing over there? Planning Pat's WrestleMania show tomorrow, 6 p. to 8 p. Eastern, by the way, here on ESPN Radio? Preview show?
That's what I've been doing for most of the show.
That's what Pat's been doing.
Oh, my God. No, I was trying to give you a shameless plug, and I was right about that?
You were 100% right.
Pat's been doing that.
Zaslow's hosting it is not even preparing for it. Oh, my God.
Javante and I have been talking about J. Cole's response to Kendrick and what we thought about it.
J. Cole responded, yes.
You got to listen to it, you know, because, and don't look at the Twitter mentions, because just go in there and just listen to it.
Good news for me. I rarely do.
That's
okay,
good.
So just to point out what's happening. So the three of us are having a conversation about an NBA coach calling a team scared and soft, and we're debating which one. Would you rather be labeled scared or soft? Mm. That seems totally normal. That's what's actually happening on ESPN Radio. Our social and digital guy, who somehow is allowed in the studio, is singing Flowers by Miley Cyrus.
Out loud.
Two of our producers are debating Kendrick Lamar versus J. Cole. I'm actually interested in that debate. And another one of our producers is preparing for another show that's more than 24 hours away. Yes, CeCe, go ahead.
I'm just thinking about the scared versus soft debate. Can you be soft and not be scared?
No.
Is that even possible?
No, they're both concurrent.
So it's like redundant by Ime saying scared and soft, like, or soft.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if you're soft, there's no way that you can't be scared, right?
But I think you could be scared and not soft.
Yeah, you can be scared.
Some guys throw up before games. They have that nervous energy, but then they jump right in. I think that could be fleeting, where I think soft is
characteristic. Yeah, but I mean, it's just because they're nervous and they have the anxiety, does that mean they're scared?
So we have Ime actually, and that was one of the other things I was doing. I went to grab Ime's sound. So here's Ime last night after the game talking about his team.
Nice, Nuno.
It looked like the moment was too big for a lot of players out there. So it looked like deer in headlights a little bit. Either look soft or scared. One or the other, and that's two bad things for a lot of our guys to have, and didn't rise up to the moment like I thought we would.
I mean, I guess you can still be good if you're soft, right?
I think you could still be good if you're scared, not if you're soft.
Well, I mean, Russell Westbrook called KD soft, and KD won an MVP.
Oh, boy.
And two titles.
So you can still be good if you're soft, or perceived as soft by some.
But maybe he proved that he wasn't soft when he went out there and did all that.
Are we sure he's proven that? Based on what we saw in Brooklyn and Phoenix, are we sure he's proven that? I don't know.
I didn't say it emphatically. I just threw it out there.
I don't know. Can you be good if you're soft?
No.
Can you be good if you're scared?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
So I guess then the answer to the debate is you'd rather be scared than soft then.
No, you can be good if you're soft. You
can be good if you're soft?
Okay, name me one elite player that's soft.
But I'm not going to call somebody soft. That's not right.
Well, that's my. I don't think we could come up with one. Is my whole point. Unless there's somebody that you have a top of mind that you don't want to share. But
well, okay. So
who's the guy that's not the toughest guy? Let's frame it that way. Yeah, who's not the toughest guy that you think is a hell of a ball player?
And we just talk about football or any sport? Any sport that we would look at and say this guy is not necessarily the tough.
And it doesn't have to be physical. We can be talking mental, too. Because a lot of guys might not be physically the toughest, but they're mentally locked in.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying this guy now, but I guess help me on this. How does Ben Simmons become the number one pick in the draft? At some point, he must have been really good, And obviously there's some stuff going on there where he never plays basketball, and he was the number one overall pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I am not going to ever clown on somebody's mental health, and he has used mental health as a reason that he's not playing, which I am totally okay with. Not this year. This year is physical health that he has mentioned. But that guy at one point was a walking triple-double in the NBA, was a really good player at one point for a short period of time, and I don't know that anyone would use the word like grimy or tough or like fearless with that guy, right? I mean, I just the first guy that came to mind, maybe because I saw the Sixers play last night and I was thinking of him. I don't know. I mean, there has to be. You don't think there are some quarterbacks, CeCe, back in your day, so to speak, that you would look at and say they're not the toughest guys in the world, but they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I can't think of any off the top of my head. But yeah, I don't know that. Here's the thing: I know quarterbacks that have been scared to death of the pass rush, and they're not good.
Oh,
like that's like I've seen quarterback. Like when you see the whites of a quarterback's eyes, and then you realize that you're gonna get that chuck and duck for the rest of the game. I don't know how that can translate to that guy being good. Case in point: Matt Ryan, 2011 wild card round in MetLife Stadium. First third down of the game, I whipped the center, buried Matt Ryan, and from that moment on, it was chuck and duck. He was playing hot potato with the football, and we knew we had him. I mean, we smoked the Atlanta Falcons 24-2. I know it sounds weird, but it actually happened 24-2. When we saw the whites in his eyes, we knew he was scared. Now, I don't think Matt Ryan is soft, but I knew he was scared. And because he was scared, he couldn't be a good football player. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious that, like when we have this debate, like, I don't know that you can be good and be scared. I know that you can be good and still be soft, both physically or mentally.
Nuno, you had one that is interesting that people, again, it's what people have labeled others. We're not actually accusing someone of being.
And granted, he had an MCL, but there was, I remember, the Jay Cutler Bears Packers NFC Championship game, right? The whole question of, like, why can't Jay Cutler go back out there? It was like a sprained knee.
MCL. Grade 2 MCL sprain.
But there was a lot of talk about that. Of his
Nuno's right. I mean, Pat, Nuno's right about that. Like, that was a thing for a long period of time with Jay Cutler, but he was legitimately hurt. Like, that's not even, like, you know, I know it was a debate then, but he was legit hurt. Let's get a call or two in on this, because, I mean, anytime this guy calls, we got to go to him immediately. Airline Food in Virginia. Hello, Airline Food.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks again for having me.
No problem, Airline Food.
So I just wanted to comment on the soft but still good. Yes, you can be soft and still good. There's a saying that goes, you put a velvet glove on an iron fist. If you rub it the right way, it's as smooth as a baby's butt. But if you hit it wrong, it's over for you. That's all I wanted to add for this morning. Thank you, guys.
Ah, there he is. Dulcet tones of airline food.
Velvet glove on an iron fist.
I don't know what he says. I'm just obsessed with his name.
Yeah, what?
I don't get that one. I don't understand.
He said that like it was a common saying.
Yeah, I never heard that one. That's a new one on old CC this morning. That's a new
Robbie one. Robbie in Virginia listening on 94.1. Scared versus soft. Where are you at on this, Robbie?
Like I said, I think there's a difference between being scared and soft. Like you said, you can be scared of a shark, but it doesn't make you soft. But you have KD, who has all the talent in the world, but he's soft with his Twitter account. You know, he has his multiple Twitter accounts. He's always bouncing back when somebody says something about him. But I do think there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, that's interesting, and thanks for the phone call. I think when we're talking about scared, I don't know. I mean, a shark is different than what CeCe's saying about a quarterback scared of a defensive lineman. But, yeah, I mean, I'm scared of sharks. I'm also
If I'm in the water, I'm scared of a shark. Yeah, yeah. That's not being scary. That's just having good sense.
Correct.
Like to me, it's just like.
Yeah, let me prove I'm tough. I'm going at the shark.
That's not a winning proposition for me.
I don't think KD's running into too many sharks in the NBA Finals, you know.
You got to get
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, Pat.
You got to get there.
Can he or can't he? Next, we're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and
The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, Kenny or Canty Smalls? We give questions. Kenny or Canty? We answer those questions. What do you got, Smalls?
First one, Kenny or Canty, can the Knicks win a playoff series?
Ooh, can the Knicks win a playoff series? Eight ball says doubtful right now, Smalls. And as great as Jalen Brunson has been playing, I don't know that he's going to be able to do enough. You got a lot of injuries in the front court. I know Mitchell Robinson is back, but he's gimpy. Julius Randle is going to be out undergoing shoulder surgery. And then you've got Precious Achiuwa. I think he's having some issues. OG Anunoby. So I'm a little bit concerned about their ability to be healthy at the right time. And considering the draw that they might get in the first round, right now it's slated to face off against the Orlando Magic, whose strength is in the front court in terms of their overall roster. I just don't know how the Knicks are going to deal. So, like I said, eight ball is saying doubtful right now. I'm going to say the Knicks can't get out of the first round of the playoffs.
Kenny or Canty, can the T-Wolves grab the number one seed in the Western Conference?
You're damn right they can. You're damn right they can. And Evan, look at it right now. They are sitting atop the Western Conference. I think they're a half game in front of the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we'll see what ends up happening down the stretch. I know they got some tough games. Not a whole lot of layups. I think the only layups that they have, they got a game against the Wiz. They got a game against the Hawks. But I just believe in what this team is, especially with how good they are on the defensive end. It's the best defensive team in all of basketball. And if you can defend and that man Anthony Edwards shows up, you're going to have the chance to win more often than not. So, yes, I do think that they will win the number one seed in the Western Conference.
How about the Milwaukee Bucks? Canny or Canty, can the Bucks get out of the first round of the playoffs?
No. No, because they're going to have to face off against the Philadelphia 76ers or the Miami Heat. Either way, is not looking good for the Milwaukee Bucks. How can you trust this team after they lost four of their last five and lost back-to-back games against the Washington Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies? How, Sway? How does that happen? It shouldn't, not on a team that has Giannis Antetokounmpo, not on a team that has the Damian Lillard, not on a team that has Chris Middleton. And I get it, not all those guys have played this week, but here's the problem that I have with the Bucks. They don't stop anybody. They can't stop a nosebleed. I mean, the last two games, losses to the Wiz and the Grizz, they gave up a combined 146 points in the paints. That's layups and dunks, bro. Like, you ain't got to have a lot of talent to be good defensively. You just got to put forth the effort, and they're not doing that. That's an indictment on the guys in that locker room. It's also an indictment on the coaching staff and Doc Rivers. But I'll say this. This is a lot of this failure from the Bucks is going to fall on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Agreed.
Like, he's the one that drove the change when it came to moving on from Coach Bud. He's the one that drove the change when it came to moving on from Adrian Griffin. He's the one that drove the organization to go out and make the big swing for Damian Lillard and get rid of Jrue Holiday, who was a great defensive player. He's the one that has pushed all of those different things by threatening or not signing the contract extension. He's gotten what he's wanted, but sometimes that can be the worst thing to happen to somebody, and it feels like their worst nightmares in Milwaukee are playing out right now.
You know, everybody uses the expression you use there, they can't stop a nosebleed. I don't think there's a universal way of stopping a nosebleed. I think it's actually an underrated thing. I think it's actually hard to stop a nosebleed. Don't you, like, what's the best way to stop a nosebleed? A tissue or your finger underneath your lip? How do you actually stop the nosebleed?
I've never had one other than when I ran into a doorway and broke my nose in sixth grade. I've never had a nosebleed.
I put
You've never had one?
In my nose and just kind of
the cotton things.
Yeah, the little cotton things. Put them in your nose and you wait for it to stop. Right.
All right. Well, now we know. Can Josh Allen win an MVP?
Yeah.
Plus 800.
I think he can. Again, I think one of the unwritten rules for winning the MVP is winning your division. And I absolutely expect that the Buffalo Bills will win the AFC East because they've won it the last 4 years in running. They've also won playoff games in each of the last 4 years. So I believe that they will find a way to overcome the loss of Stephon Diggs, and that might mean trading up from 28 in order to get a wide receiver. That might mean taking a wide receiver at 28. This is a really deep wide receiver class with a lot of players that are first-round worthy. So they'll be able to find a difference maker in terms of a pass catcher early on in the draft. But I think the identity for the Buffalo Bills is going to shift, and it's going to be more focused about around the run game and play-action passing as opposed to having a more wide-open air raid attack. I just don't think that the Bills and Josh Allen are well-served with that, which is why we saw the switch from coordinators going from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady last season. So I think they lean into the identity that we saw more so in the postseason, and that lends itself to getting the best version of Josh Allen.
I'm really excited to ask you this next one. Can he or can't he? Can the Jets make the playoffs?
Hell no, they can't make the playoffs. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers is that quarterback. And Stephen A. Smith keeps telling us he's a bad man. Well, guess what? He was a bad man in 2021. That ain't the Aaron Rodgers that's showing up in 2024, bro. I don't know if you have been paying attention, but last time we saw Aaron Rodgers play a full season, it was underwhelming to say the least. And then last year, he tore his Achilles 4 games in. So why are we to expect that we're going to see a better version of Aaron Rodgers going into his age 40 season coming off of an Achilles injury? It's not going to happen. We got to stop assigning Tom Brady-like longevity to every other quarterback that's following. Life comes at you fast in the NFL. And usually when these legends fall off, it's a cliff that they're tumbling down, not a small hill. The end is already here. And unfortunately, the Jets fans and Stephen A. Smith are the last ones to know it.
Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right products for you. Call, click, Grainger.com or just stop by today. Can he or can't he? Can NC State upset Purdue plus 350 in that game?
Ooh, I want to say they can. I want to because I like DJ Burns. I feel like he's the most lovable character left in the NCAA tournament from the men's side. But it ain't going to happen, dog. It ain't going to happen. There is a Virginia 2019 feel around Purdue. Like, remember what happened with Virginia the year before that when they lost to UMBC?
Uh-huh.
And their first 16-1. One seed to lose to a 16 seed. It happened to Purdue last year in the NCAA tournament, and this has been a team that's looked like they are on a mission, and Zach Edey has been out to prove that he is the best player in all the land. We saw that in the Elite Eight when he dropped 40 and 16 against Tennessee. I just feel like it's going to be too much Zach Edey, too much perimeter shooting for Purdue. I think they overwhelm NC State. It's been a great ride for Kevin Keats' bunch, but it stops here in the national championship semifinal.
Let's go to the women's side, final one. Can she or can't she, can Iowa make it back to the national championship game?
She can. And when I say she can, I mean Caitlin Clark. Absolutely. I'm not going to bet against Caitlin Clark. She's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, she's tearing it up, averaging nearly 30 points a game in the NCAA tournament. She is an absolute beast, and I have a feeling that she is going to set out with something to prove. Remember, coming out of high school, she wanted to go to UConn, but Gino Auriemma said there's no room for you because we got this girl, Paige Beckers, who's the number one player in the country. Yeah. I think Caitlin Clark is going to wear that chip on her shoulder as if you needed to give her any more motivation. She's going to go out there and show it tonight at 9 o'clock when next game tips off. I'm excited about it.
Right here on ESPN, obviously, as 6 p.m. is the pregame, 7 p.m. the tip for the first game, 9 p.m. for the second game, all Eastern time here on ESPN. And, of course, on ESPN television, excuse me. Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click, Grainger.com or just stop by today. Caitlin Clark is the biggest star in the Final Four this weekend. How many other stars are there? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Women's Final Four gets going tonight. 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, the Women's Final Four special. And then NC State, South Carolina, UConn, and Iowa. Caitlin Clark is clearly the biggest star in college basketball, men's or women's right now, including the coaches of active teams. Who's number two? If Caitlin Clark is the biggest star, is Gino Auriemma number two? Is Danny Hurley number two? Is Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon number two? Is Dawn Staley number two? Like, if she's number one, who's second of stardom this weekend in college basketball?
Dawn Staley's got to be up there, right?
I was going to say, to me, it's between Dawn Staley and Gino Auriemma.
Yeah. But Dawn Staley feels like she's the cool coach right now.
No doubt.
Like, she's the in one. Like, Gino Auriemma, respect, has been doing it at a high level for a really long time. But it feels like there's a changing of the guard, a shift when it comes to the balance of power and the best blue blood program in women's college basketball, in college basketball, period. And that's South Carolina's women's team.
To think that 1, 2, 3, if we're talking about star power in both the men's and women's tournament, are all on the women's side, and two of them are coaches, and you could argue that number four is probably Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
That says a lot about the disparity between popularity and star power that we're seeing in the women's and men's games.
So I think you're right about what you're saying, but I also think this year more than other years, it's not a knock on the men's game. I really don't think it is, because I think we have people that have actually been around for a while, and the fact that they're not necessarily surefire pros in a way is a good thing on the men's side for college basketball. Like, Zach Edey's going to get drafted. We know him because he is a large man at 7'4", and he's been around at Purdue seemingly for about 100 years, so we know him. Donovan Klingon is young, and he's going to be a lottery pick if he comes out, most likely at a UConn, but he won a championship last year, so we know him a little bit. Like, I think the fact that the non-superstar NBA guys or non-assumed superstar NBA guys are succeeding in college is a good thing for college basketball. Like, next year, there's a kid going to Duke in Cooper Flagg that may or may not be around for a while, and it's going to be in the number one pick in the draft. I don't know that he's necessarily going to, like, blow up college basketball.
But we saw Zion do that with college basketball a few years ago. He was an absolute phenom. Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't translate to his team going on a deep tournament run.
Exactly.
But people were tuning in to watch Duke basketball because they wanted to see what highlight reel dunk Zion Williamson had. And I think we're a preview-oriented society. So a part of this is wanting to see who's next up, and then being able to follow their careers from the collegiate ranks to the professional ranks. And so I think you might be off a little bit, Ev, when it comes to not necessarily having guys in men's college basketball that are going to be pros. I do think we want to see that element of, you know, those guys that have the potential to transition and make it to the NBA. Think about the conversation that's happening around DJ Burns. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to be an NBA player? Is he going to have success in the NBA? He's a tournament darling, no doubt, but I mean, this is a guy that bounced around from Tennessee to Winthrop and now to NC State. We want to know, is he going to play in the NBA? And if he don't play in the NBA, does he want to play in the NFL?
Correct.
Like we want to know what's next for him, because we're so drawn into how magnetic his personality has been in his overall game and on display in the tournament.
Yeah, I guess my argument is more so, all of that is fair. My argument is, I think we need to separate college basketball and the NBA relative to this. If someone is really successful in college basketball, they could still become a star in college even if they are not going to be a star in the NBA, because becoming a star in college is familiarity in many ways. Like Zion, yes, he's a superstar in college. But as you said, his team didn't have a lot of success. When I think back to some of the stars in college, there are guys that have been there for 2, 3, 4 years. That's been the whole argument in favor of women's college basketball right now because of what I deem to be ridiculous rules in the WNBA. These young ladies are going to be in school for longer, thus we're more familiar with them. Zach Edey's been there forever. We're more familiar with him. Yes, would we love a Zion-type character in the Final Four? Sure, but I think there's familiarity amongst some of these guys now.
Yeah, I think familiarity matters, but even with the stars in the women's side, like, we know we're going to see them in the WNBA at some point.
Yes, exactly.
Like, so again, it goes back to the preview. I'm thinking about the biggest stars in recent memory in college basketball, and pretty much all of them transitioned to the NBA.
Like, who would we say? Who's coming to your mind right now when you're thinking
John
about
Morant
that?
Was a star at Murray State during the NCAA tournament. Transitioned to the NBA. Like, I'm just sitting there thinking about, like, if we're looking at the stars on the men's side, like the ones that we're drawn to ultimately do go to the league.
I think the difference here is that we're aware of the stars in the women's game before the tournament, where because of the churn on the men's side, we become aware of a lot of these players in the men's tournament during the tournament. And then a lot of these players elect to go on to the NBA. So we are learning a fresh new crop of talent year after year. And conversely, on the women's side, since we already are familiar with them because they stay in school longer, we have that consistent interest in them throughout the regular season and then into the tournament year over year.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, now I'm going through and thinking about who do I think about as the biggest stars in men's college basketball over the last, you know, decade plus, right? I think about, let's say, 10 to 15 years. Tyler Hansborough was a huge star,
Right.
I mean, he was a huge star. The Florida guys were huge stars, Noah and Horford. They stayed 3 years. Mm-hmm. Kemba Walker at UConn was a very big star. J.J. Redick and Jay Williams, two of our teammates here at ESPN, huge stars in college. I guess we would have to kind of look back at how many years they stayed in college to generate the stardom. But I guess then let me ask you this way. Do you think we have a star on the men's side this weekend? Is there a star?
I mean, I think...
That's a no.
I mean, Zach Edey is as close to a star as you're going to get, but I don't think he's a star.
He's the one.
Yeah, like, he's as close as you're going to get. I mean, he's going to win National Player of the Year, the Naismith Award, 2 years in a row. Like,
consider him a star?
No. I'm not quite sure. I don't think he has the same level of charisma.
Do you know what
that
it
we
is?
Would want the star to have? I don't think his game, the brand of ball that he plays, is necessarily what's exciting to people. But he's a damn good basketball player. But I think there is a question mark around Zach Edey on what kind of pro is he going to be. So I think people are, you know, I guess, putting their foot in the water with Zach Edey. But we didn't see that when it came to guys like Chet Holmgren or Jalen Suggs when they were at Gonzaga. Like, those are guys that we saw go on deep playoff runs, but we knew we were going to see them once they got to the next level. Like, we knew we were going to see them in the NBA. Like, we were drawn into that. I mean, Paolo Banchero, yeah, one and done, but we knew when he was at Duke, like, this guy was going to be a player that transitioned to the NBA. So I guess you can say that you found stars in college that haven't necessarily translated to being, you know, players that you're paying attention to in the pros. But I think a lot of the stars that we're seeing both on the men's side and the women's side, a part of the intrigue is what is next for this player and being able to follow them as they make the leap to the highest level of competition.
I think when we talk about stars, Evan, you call it must-see TV. We would, during the regular season or the tournament, stop what we were doing to tune into Caitlin Clark. We want to see what she does. Or LSU, Angel Reese, things like that. Whereas I think on the men's side, it's hard for us to really say these guys are stars because how many people outside of Purdue basketball fans or maybe a Big Ten basketball fan is stopping what they're doing night in and night out to check out Zach Edey? It's different.
No.
It's interesting. I'm going to just a quick like history point here on this. I'm thinking about when we grew up. And how many college football players we watched that were superstars in college that never made it to the pros and we didn't care as much. Now, you don't see superstars in college not make it to the pros and have a big run. Like a great player at Alabama winning a championship is going to play in the NFL. I think about when we were growing up, the Notre Dame quarterback, a guy by the name of Tony Rice, was a stud. Major Harris at West Virginia. Like all these random guys that I remember watching, and they, you knew because of the way the NFL was played then, they were never going to play in the pros, and they were still stars in college. I think we have gotten to a place in sports, the evolution of sports in a positive way, that if you're a star in college, more likely than not, you're going to play in the pros. And I think that's probably the hurdle here for you, CC, is like, these guys, I can't consider them a star if they're not going to play in the pros.
I agree with that, but the irony of it is it feels like the college game and the pro game is leaps and bounds further apart than it's ever been. Like, think about it, like, in terms
because
of the difference,
stay,
in terms of the difference
in
what we see at the college game versus the difference that we see in the pro game, it is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Because if you stay, it means you're not that good, right? That's kind of what they say. Like, if you're like, oh, this guy is a senior, like, and that's why you're saying, like, oh, I have to stay versus I want to stay back in the day.
Does that change with NIL? I know it's a deeper conversation. Does that change with NIL?
Yes, I think so.
Yes. Yeah, because, it can. We haven't seen it yet. It has to be Caleb Williams saying, I don't need to go to the pros yet. I'm making enough at USC and I'm having fun and I'm enjoying my life and I'm making, you know, millions upon millions of dollars. All right, CC, Caleb Williams, one of those people that are getting done. Obviously, Caitlin Clark and all the people in the Final Four getting it done. And so is Granger right now for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Jordan Montgomery, Arizona Diamondbacks.
Just 2 days before opening day, left-hander Jordan Montgomery's long offseason ended. The reigning National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks added Montgomery to compete with the arms race in the NL West. Dodgers had Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Padres traded for Dylan Cease. The Giants acquired Blake Snell. So the Diamondbacks were forced to keep up in the form of Montgomery, who helped the Rangers beat the D-backs in the World Series last year. The 31-year-old Southpaw started 32 games for the Cardinals and Rangers in 2023, compiling a 3.20 ERA. In the postseason, he tossed 31 innings, including one start in Game 2 of the World Series last October, which turned out to be the Diamondbacks' lone win in the series. Montgomery has proven he can deliver in the biggest moments. His best start came in the wild card round when he shut out the Tampa Bay Rays over 7 innings. And in Arizona, he'll pitch for his 4th team in 4 years, joining a rotation with Zach Gallen, newly signed Eduardo Rodriguez and Merrill Kelly, as they hope to bring the Diamondbacks back to the Fall Classic and deliver the franchise's second World Series championship.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Old Faces, New Places, Jordan Montgomery in Arizona, Smalls. Thoughts on Montgomery? Tied to both of you, right? Yankees and Cardinals. Well, ex-Yankees and Cardinals, now in Arizona.
ex-Yankees and Cardinals, and I think both of us would take Monty back on our team, right, CC?
No doubt about it. Yeah. No question.
I would have loved the Cardinals to go back out and get him, especially after his 2023. He had personal best in ERA, 3.20, personal best in strikeouts, 166, and innings, 188 and two-thirds, over 32 starts. This guy, as Jeff Passan said, is somebody that has shown he can perform in the biggest of moments, and he's a great clubhouse guy. I know when he came to the Cardinals from the Yankees were really bummed out that Monty wasn't on the team anymore because he was a clubhouse favorite. So I can't believe that more teams weren't in on him quicker. And I think he was a great, great pickup for Arizona.
Yeah, I just love the 1-2-3 punch they've got in Arizona between him, Zach Gallen, who is an automatic win anytime he takes the mound every fifth day, and then Merrill Kelly. I like the top three in that rotation. That feels really strong considering where this young club is going, this lineup. They're going to have an opportunity to grow, and they've got budding stars in the game of baseball. But in terms of run prevention, that 1-2-3 punch with the three top guys in their rotation is going to give them an opportunity to compete in the NL West with the LA Dodgers.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. The 1-2-3 punch we saw yesterday on Michelle Smallman's Instagram was 1-2-3 pancakes, I believe, we saw yesterday, Smalls.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I wish you were with us. Rob Lorenzo.
Wasn't invited.
Well, you're in Florida, Evan. You can't be
invited. Still wasn't invited.
Evan, are you upset that you didn't come yesterday to the diner? Because I'm getting that sense, even though you are thousands of miles away in Florida.
No, I want to hear about the pancakes, and then I'll make that decision.
Okay.
I gotta hear how good they are, and then I'll make the decision.
Well, I love pancakes. I think they're the obvious choice whenever you go to breakfast or brunch. I'm a big pancake stack for the table girl. Get you a breakfast burrito or something savory, and then we can all share the pancakes together. And I'm a tough judge when it comes to pancakes. These pancakes went viral for a reason, guys. They are by far the best pancakes I've ever had in my entire life.
Why?
When the plate came out, they were bouncy. I've never seen pancakes with that consistency before. It had the perfect amount of melty butter, a little bit of lemon zest on top, which added something but wasn't overpowering. And when you cut into the pancakes, they were the perfect amount of firm and almost crispy on the outside and fluffy, but not drowned in syrup on the inside. I would say 15 out of 10. There's a reason why the wait is 3 hours to get into this place. Golden Diner pancakes, best pancakes I've ever had.
That you ever had?
Ever had.
Okay, wait, hold on. Where did you say you went? What you went to what yesterday? A what?
The Golden Diner.
The Golden Diner. It's a spot in Chinatown.
No, but you think it's and you made reservations?
Rob made reservations, yes.
Right. Okay, Cece, we just have to make sure. They went to a restaurant yesterday. They went to a restaurant. We have to be clear on that.
A restaurant that's called the Golden Diner.
There you go. Exactly. We need the proper context because there's...
it's a diner.
Oh, boy.
But because,
it's not a diner.
So you're saying it's a diner until it goes viral and then you have to make a reservation to get in or wait 3 hours.
First of all, the fact that they take reservations kind of crosses it off the list of... being a diner. It disqualifies it from being a diner. They should not be able to take reservations.
All great teams.
It's a diner.
First come,
first serve.
All great teams make adjustments. And when you have people who want to wait for 3 hours to get in, I think you adjust and it's good for your business.
Yeah, that's a great point. She's not wrong with that one, Ev. I have no retort.
I understand that. But again, no such thing as a diner with reservations. You can't have a diner with reservations. It's a restaurant that has diner in the name.
Well, if the pancakes are as good as Smalls is saying they are, they can call it whatever the hell they want. I feel like I missed out. I got to go double back and try to find out and check it out. That might be a Saturday morning type of thing for me and my wife this weekend.
Good luck trying to get in.
Yeah, Saturday morning, no.
I have friends who had went before and they waited 3 hours on a Saturday morning. Guess what?
I can make a reservation though.
If they're available
Saturday morning.
I think we only got in because we went at like 10:30 on a Thursday.
Yeah.
When a lot of other people are in the office.
What if I go at like 7:30 on a Saturday morning?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
They open at 10. Rob said.
Oh, they open at
10. Also, we need to get Rob's review.
Hold on.
Time out.
How is it a? Hold on, this is all wrong. So now I'm confused. It's a diner.
Yes.
And so diners,
get him, CC.
Diners
get
are usually 24 hours. Well, okay, that's neither here nor there. I get it. You know, I understand it's staffing issues. I understand it. You got to get. But how is your claim to fame the pancakes and you don't open until 10 o'clock? That don't make no sense. You don't open till 10 a.m. in the morning and your claim to fame is pancakes? If the go-to at the spot is pancakes, I need you to be open at 6 a.m. Like that is a minimum. It probably should be 5 a.m. Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to need for you to be open at 6 a.m. if your claim to fame is pancakes.
Open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
What the hell are they doing?
That's not a diner.
I'm with Ev on that one. The hours threw me off. I wanted to go there. You sold me with the whole, it's good for your business to take reservations so people ain't waiting for 3 hours. I'm on board with that part of it. But the fact that your claim to fame is the pancakes, that is what everybody knows you for, and you don't open until 10 a.m.? I think
it's your birthday. Yeah, by the way, you were supposed to come with us yesterday, and we told them sneakily that it was your birthday.
Really?
And we showed up, and you weren't there.
Oh, wow.
So it was my birthday yesterday.
It's your birthday. There it is.
Happy birthday, Smalls. We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.